You're in the middle of my conversation with Inna Segal, an intuitive healer whose story is as compelling as her skills and teachings. Listen now to part two of our conversation. Can you teach people how to develop, acknowledge, I don't know what the word is, the same gift you have?
Absolutely. That's the main thing that I'm actually doing now is I'm
God.
teaching people, and obviously it's not an instant thing for many
Yeah, no,
people.
for
It
sure.
takes
Yeah.
time. We go through different kind of explorations and stages, but we always start with self. Even, we always start with learning to connect to your body, learning to get messages from the body, learning to get wisdom from the body. And from there we might go, well, let's move to our intuition more because we've kind of sensitized, because most people are desensitized, right? They're not really connected to their body. They actually feel like their body's quite numb and they don't really know anything about it. They just get frustrated when it hurts, like I did. And so they're kind of walking around and just like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do today? And what I'm saying is slow down. Come back in, breathe, ask questions, start to discover and understand about what's going on. It's quite funny, as I'm talking to you, I was thinking that I recently had this lady who 90, I think, and she said to me, "Oh my God, I've been doing this 8-week challenge that where I go through all the systems of the body, and it's a course that people can purchase and work in their own time from from me." And she said, I realized that I'm carrying like this trauma from when I was 6 and I'm 90." And she said, "I'm feeling so much better because I finally could meet it, transform it, understand it, release it." And she's like, "I want to
Oh,
do
that's great. And when you think about the fact that sometime in the next 20 years, she's probably going to pass on, she's going to pass on in peace.
Yeah, well, exactly. I had this conversation with my grandmother. As much as I could help her with pain, I said to her, "I feel like it's really, really important for you to feel your feelings about the loss you've had, the trauma, because I know you buried it." And she ended up with leukemia, and I was like, "I knew, because I know that it leads to that." And I said to her, "So I really encourage you to have some emotions." And it was hard to explain fully to her, coming from that Eastern, European background,
Yeah.
and being tough, like so tough, and
Well, that's the only way you
surviving.
survive.
Yeah, about, hey, everyone should feel your emotions. And she said to me, she's the sweetest, like the most beautiful person. And she said to me, okay, there's definitely, she did not understand why I said it, but she, as much as I tried to explain it to her, she understood that there was something that she needed to let go of. And I didn't know this, but 2 days before she died, my aunt was over, and definitely not the person I would be crying in front of. So I thought it was really interesting that that's when she, that happened for her, because my aunt is very hardened as well, and very, it had her own a lot of trauma, and she's kind of holds it in. And my grandmother started crying in front of her because nobody had really seen my grandmother or grandfather cry. And she said to her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "I don't think I've got long left." And it was a promise I made to, it was something she said I had to do. And so I'm allowing, the tears to come now. And it was really interesting because my grandmother's passing was really one of the things I had major anxiety around for 5 years, even before she did. It was probably one of the most beautiful experiences I had, in seeing somebody, kind of cross over, let's say.
So for you as a young woman, helping your grandmother in this way, how if she had been able to really discuss, say for the last year of her life, discuss some of the hardships and how she had to be strong and stoic, because that was the only way she was going to get herself through and her family through. If she starts sharing some of that with you, how do you protect yourself from the pain, knowing what pain your grandmother went through?
Well, she actually did. she, not in those particular words, but it was, my mom said the same. She said it's like in the last few years of her life, she talked about everything that she went through. It was pretty horrendous and intensive. And I think I'm going to share a different one. It was with my grandfather because he hardly ever shared. And there was one time that I was, I had a lot of compassion for my grandmother, and I actually saw her very as an incredibly courageous person. So I took it from that place of courage and from the place of I think for me it was like when I complain about something or I'm scared of something, I'm gonna think about what she went through and I'm gonna take it. I'm going to ask myself questions. Is this as hard as what she's been through? And if the answer is no, which is always no, and I hope it will be always no, then my communication with myself is like, what are you worried about? Look, she survived. So that's how I took it with her. My grandfather was a little bit different because my grandmother did talk about it incessantly in the last few years of her life. She wrote about it. She actually did some of I think interviews, she was in some magazines around her, like she got it out in that sense. And also I did ask her the questions. I said to her, do you feel guilt that you were the one who survived? And consciously she said no, that she, because her mother actually said to her mother had this kind of clairvoyant psychic abilities at the time, and her mother said to her, look, I am seeing what's coming in terms of the war. It'll be you and your father who will survive. The children and I will die. And so she, again, I don't know how you say that. She would have been 31, maybe, as like this is what's going to happen. And I would actually ask my grandmother, like, how do you survive? Like, give me clues because I want to become stronger. So I always kind of turn it around into how to should tell me how to grow from it, because one of the things that was really powerful was from my grandmother was she was never depressed, and she would say to me, well, I had to fight for my life and for my freedom, and to live, so every moment I is like a moment I treasure. And so she learned enormous amount from her, and I've been super deeply touched and inspired from her from that perspective. My grandfather was a little bit of a different story because I was curious. I was very curious because my grandmother, she did numb herself a lot. And I felt like she, and I totally understand it, but she, my mom and her had a lot of challenges because my mom didn't feel like my grandmother could give her the love that my mom needed. And she struggled a lot as a child. I didn't have the same experience with my grandmother. I think she got older, she matured. She could with me. She could because we would talk about it. I was like, do you feel love? How do you feel it? Do you feel care? Whereas my grandfather, he spent 10 years from when he was 14 to 24 in a work camp in Siberia. And he, for something he didn't do, and his family didn't know if he was alive. So he didn't have the loss that my grandmother had in terms of everybody in her family, pretty much. But he lost his childhood and his teenage years, and he was tortured. Like by the time he was 24, he weighed 24 kilos. And but he and he was very strong. very courageous, extremely extraordinarily giving, and very warm. Like one of the things that I noticed with him was how warm he was, and Mum said that he was like that even when she was a child, and just kind of very connected to children, because that's not normal in Eastern European experience for men to be, especially of his generation. Like he did everything with me, with my cousins, and and as he was getting older, he started to get this bit of dementia, and I was aware that dementia comes from us having traumatic and difficult experiences and pushing them away and never talking about it, unlike my grandmother who did. And so I was kind of pushing him one day, and I was like, tell me, share with me what happened to you. And on this very rare occasion, he started sharing in depth. And it was hard, like, for me to hold. I was trying to hold it in because I knew he couldn't ha handle me crying. So at one point, I couldn't. It was just too horrific what he went through. I started crying, and he just said, "Look, this is not, I'm not sharing this for you to cry. It happened over 50 years ago. Obviously, you can't handle it. I'm not sharing it with you anymore. I think like it's enough. I, like I'm fine." And I said to him, "Fine, I'm going home." And I had a very young daughter at the time, like she was a couple of years old. So I got into the car, drove home, and said to my husband at the time, "Don't talk to me. Like, just don't talk to me. I need some time to process this. Look after the kids. I'm going to the shower. Do not come in. Like, don't come into the bathroom. If you hear crying, don't come in." And it was fascinating because I'd never experienced anything like this before. And so I came, I went into the shower, and I was very shaken by what I heard from him. And I could, and I was like, how do I help him? I don't know how to help him. How do I help him? And I thought, okay, I'm going to connect to that teenage boy that had to go through this. And so I literally, let's say, connected, visualized, whatever you want to call it, this 14-year-old part of my grandfather. And I'm going to say that I saw it more than I visualized it, because I saw him like skin and bones. I so as I was in the shower and I was having this, I could see his 14-year-old self, and it felt very real, I have to say. Well, as I was connecting to him, and I said to him, "I know you can't cry. I know you can't feel this stuff, but I can. Let me do it for you." And all of a sudden, I felt this kind of emotion come up in my body, and I knew it wasn't mine, but it was like I howled. I was howling. I was crying. I've cried in my life, never, never to this degree. It was like it was coming from, from the base of my inner being, but I also knew it wasn't mine. And I think my husband at the time was like, "Oh my God," because it was kind of scary. And it went on for over an hour. I mean, I'm saying, I don't know if I was in the shower for that long, but it was like I just couldn't stop. And it was like wave after wave after wave. And then I thought to myself, well, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to try this. So I'm going to kind of like literally connect to this child part of my grandfather every day for until I feel like it looks healthy to me, until we get to that place. And so just kept doing it. Again, there were several weeks that went by, and for whatever reason, I didn't see my grandparents during that time period. And there was a moment where I felt like, hey, this part looks so much healthier now. I'm going to call my grandparents. I'm going to go visit. And so a call. And I have to say, by that stage, my grandfather, who was always so loving and funny and just very light, he started getting dementia and he started getting very negative to a point where I would be concerned. Like, this was hard calling him, like calling on the phone. If he picked up the phone, he just started, bombarding me with negativity in terms of his health. And I was like, oh my God, I can't handle this. And so I thought to myself, I have my grandmother fix up because I'm, because she said, please tell me when you're coming over because I need to make food for you. Don't just show up, because if I don't have food, like she'd get upset. I'm like, I didn't, I just want to show up and I didn't care about food, but okay, I'll call you. Because she's like, no, you've got to call me. And so I call and my grandfather picks up and I'm like, hello. And I'm thinking, how do I say hello and go into a conversation without saying how are you? But it's rude, so obviously not gonna do it. So I'm like, how are you going? And this was the first time in years by that stage where he went, well, life is good. I life is really good. And when I was younger, he'd always tell me these little poems and stories and all this stuff. And he starts telling me this, and I'm like, okay, wow. And he's like, being alive is a good thing, and joking with me and saying all these funny things. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna come visit you today. And so I go and visit, and he's like so animated and clear in his mind and he's thinking, and I'm going, I wonder if anybody else in the family will notice because I didn't tell anyone. And I get, I talk to my cousins and they're like, notice grandfather seems different. Like he seems more happy, more like, what happened? Does he have a drug that he's taking? Like, what's, is there better drugs now? And my mom's like, oh, this is really strange. He seems really happy. He seems really like okay. And it was so interesting that until the day my grandmother died, he was okay. Like he was really kind of withered. And I remember the day before she died, I was at their house. And as my uncle came in, and my uncle's like atheist, doesn't believe in anything, he said, I don't know. I don't know what Ina does. I don't understand it. But whatever she does works because I saw it on my wife. I saw how she took her pain away. I saw what she did. And he just kept repeating it. And I thought, it's so strange that he's even saying this. And then when my grandmother died, he was like, I'm not going to stay here without her. But so he was alive for another year. But yeah, he lost it. And by that stage, I was like, so much I can do. But there was a good 5 years where he was like back to how he was when he was younger.
Now, he was your grandfather, and obviously, part of him is in you.
Yeah.
Could you do that sort of thing with a stranger, or do you think it's because you are the same in some ways?
I think that it's not healthy to do with a stranger. I think it was a very particular, specific experience, definitely in terms of I had a very, very deep connection with both of my grandparents. And I don't think I could do it for a stranger. I don't think, like I mean, I do feel things I'm not gonna say from people that I meet and I kind of tune into, but not in this type of way. I think that I'm going to say the energetic element you could do for a stranger, but I think feeling the level of feeling that I had, I think that was very unique to that, I could really, connect to my grandfather in a very deep way. So I don't know if it would be healthy to, because in some ways, I did feel at that time that I took that on inside of me, that I guess his experience that he couldn't transform. I'm not naturally believer in doing that. I think it was like there was no other way. My grandmother at least cried without, me knowing, and I felt like she always listened to everything I said, and even if she couldn't do it, she was receptive to it. We spoke a lot about spirituality with her. My grandfather, when it came to spirituality, he would say, "Well, I don't believe in anything spiritual." And I would say, "What do you believe in?" And he would say, "Destiny." And then my conversation would be like, "Well, who created destiny? Like, how do you believe in destiny? But where did it come from?" And then he would just go, "Okay, cool." And so I think, when my grandmother was there, I would just speak, he would read the newspaper as she was cooking and stuff. And I didn't know as much then, obviously, as I am aware of now. I would just raise my voice because, and I would talk to her about spirituality, about everything that I thought that I understood, in very, very loud voice so that he could hear it. And he would just like have the newspaper and not really say anything. And I'd go, to her, "Do you know, your mom was clairvoyant? Like, do you believe that? Do you? Can you see what I'm saying and why I'm seeing things or having this?" And she'd always go, yeah. So I thought it was really amazing that he said that at the end, like, I don't know how Ina did it, but she really, really helped my wife, So, it was really touching because obviously he didn't know how I helped him.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? I mean, given, and I have no experience, but just given the age and what I might think is the background, is could he have just kept the paper up thinking there's women talk happening over there?
Yeah, probably, but I still thought he would hear
Yeah, oh yeah, no, and I'm sure what
it.
goes in has to go somewhere.
But what was really interesting for me was that both of my grandparents, kind of on the soul level, asked me, different things for when it came to their crossing over, to their passing. And my grandmother, again, it wasn't conscious, but on the soul level, she was saying to me, "I need you to be there. I want you to be there." And because I was traveling so much, it did fall into the time when I was there. And, obviously I would have tried to get back, but God knows where I would have been in the world. But yeah, she was very much like, "I really, really need you to be there at the end."
But
With
did
my
she choose that?
grandfather, yeah. She
But I
was,
just mean, if you
I
were there, she thought
mean,
that this is the time when I need to go because
yeah.
yeah, if it happens next month, you may not be here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have been, and so it's really kind of powerful as an experience. And then my grandfather, I was away at like, and I was kind of, I was sleeping and I was woken up about, I don't know, I think it was like 3 a.m. in the morning, and I knew he was in a coma. He told me. So his soul actually connected to me, and he said, "I'm in a coma. This is it. Like, I'm going." And I said to him, "Like, going right now, or can you wait 2 days for me to get back? Because I'm about to start teaching tomorrow, and either I need to cancel and come back because you can't go without me saying goodbye. Or like, what are you saying?" And it wasn't fully clear, but because I think he was, taking a lot of drugs as well. Like they were giving, morphine and whatever. So it's harder for the soul to be super clear. But I was like, "You need to really tell me." Like you and I said to him in the end, "Well, since you can't tell me, you just have to wait. You have to wait for me to come." And he said, "Okay, well, the thing is, fine, fine. I will wait for you." In the end, he said this to me, "But I want you to know you're not going to be there at the time where I'm kind of passing, like you were with your grandmother. I don't want it. I don't want anyone there." And I was like, "Fine, as long as I'm there, you're there when I come back, and I have time to connect with you physically and say goodbye." And so we had that agreement. And at 7 in the morning, I was awake, and my mom called me and she's like, "I got to tell you something." I was like, "I already know." And she said, "What do you know?" And I was like, "He's in a coma." I already know. He's already come to me. He's already said it. And I said to her, I'm still deciding if I'm going to teach today or not. But, I do have an agreement with him that he's going to wait because it was a long flight from where I was. And, I said to her, like, just, I'll keep my phone on. I don't like doing it, but just keep texting me if he's okay or not. And he did. He waited, and he waited extra days, even when I came back, because he knows me that I needed much more time. It's like I need one day. I was like, I needed to come. I got the whole family to talk about his courage and who he was, because I knew he wouldn't, like that when he goes, it's going to be in the middle of the night because he doesn't want anyone there. And that's exactly what happened. And so it was really interesting and powerful.
I worked in elder care and I volunteered at hospice, and we knew that people would choose to go with family or choose to go when family wasn't there, that sort of thing. I'm watching the clock here, unfortunately. This could go on for hours. It's amazing talking to you. I did want to ask one other question. Insofar as, if the body has pain, what's the difference between like an accident in terms of your trauma and your body holding on to something that you've got to figure out?
Well, I feel like it's a hard one because, in all my research of when people have an accident,
Like an
usually
injury is
there's a
the other.
lot, usually there's a lot going on in their mind before they have that, like they're like me today, with my not talking about an accident in terms of my body, but just not, like just turning and having my microphone go into the water, so it's like, okay, well, why did that happen? Because, I was distracted. And so when we have an accident, or what we call an accident, we need to look at, were we distracted? What were we really stressed out? What was going on? Because if there was a lot of that, then the body will hold that in terms of an injury. Right. So, like, let's say it's driving a car, because I've seen this, I've worked with countless people with injuries, and we go back and we look at it. And, very often they're angry, they're upset, something's been happening, they're not concentrating, they're overwhelmed. And we do have to actually work on that because the body often won't heal properly because of that. Otherwise, if in some ways it just happened, but you were okay, but like it was a real, real accident, then usually the body heals. It's like quite very, very good at healing, and I mean, it's still, I'm saying it in a general way because it depends on the person's overall health and what else is going on, right? So it's hard to kind of put it into this black and white because if somebody had really bad health at that time, and like, well, what else was going on, and how did it kind of contribute to the injury, as opposed to where it was very, very obvious that, there was also a that there was a big trauma that occurred for somebody. And also, I mean, when we get into kind of the nitty-gritty of everything, and it gets a little more complex, the challenge is this: that if the problem is chronic or has been there for a very long period of time, it may not have started in the part of the body where it's showing up. So, like, because where it's showing up is this end result. And I'm often saying to people, well, I get that you're working on this part, but that's not what I feel it started. And so you're going round and round in circles and getting frustrated. And so th there is that, th that's probably the hardest part for people to figure out. Maybe it didn't start here, maybe it started somewhere else inside the body, and this is where it is now.
So many thoughts come to mind. One of the reasons I asked that, and well, it wasn't the reason I asked it, but as you were explaining, I have a recurring knee injury every couple of years, and a couple of months ago, it came back to bite me. So I'm thinking, okay, it's because you were really angry that you had to do this heavy job that somebody else was supposed to have done, but there was nobody, so it doesn't matter. But when you were talking about, it starts somewhere else, is same thing. And I don't know where physiotherapy fits into the model, but I went to a physiotherapist with like a shoulder injury, and it was a specific thing. I knew exactly what I had done, and my shoulder reacted. But she said, okay, like that hurts, right? Yeah. Okay, well, how about over here? Ooh, that hurts. Well, how about down here? Ooh, yeah. I didn't realize that, but now that you're following the path. And she followed the path through to the origin, which was nowhere near my shoulder. So yeah. So it
Totally, like,
sounds sort of out there what you're saying, but a lot of it is based in provable science.
100%. And it's actually quite funny that you say that, because I had, I think a year ago, so I had a physiotherapist in one of my courses, and it's really interesting because when she finished, and speaking of, can you teach somebody this? When she finished the course, she had a client, and this client had this horrendous, I mean, horrendous digestive issues and back pain, but digestive issue as well. And she went to see her and she said, look, I'm almost suicidal. I honestly don't know what to do because they want to put me on this heavy, heavy drugs, and like they don't feel good for me, because obviously they have horrible side effects. And she just said, I just don't know where this comes from. And this lady went, okay, well, I'm not professional. I've only just finished this course. Obviously, I'm a physiotherapist, but I would love to, if you're open to it, see if I can use some of these tools that I learned from Ina, if I can just help you. And it starts with tuning in. And so this lady tuning to this woman's, she actually saw that the pain that was the stomach pain was coming from the womb. And she saw that there was this black kind of gooey energy there, and it was connected to some secret. And so as she was kind of delving in and trying to get the message from the body, essentially she said to this lady, look, something happened 5 years ago, and you were there's some kind of secret. And she was like, no. And she said, yeah, there is. Like, what were you doing 5 years ago? And this lady said, well, I was in Europe, and I had this affair with this man. And she said, okay, well, what happened? And then she started tearing up and going, well, actually, I got pregnant, and I ended up having an abortion and not telling him. And from then on, I've been getting this pain. And so again, this lady, she, worked with some of the processes that I teach, and she kind of helped her with them. And at the end, this woman who came to her, she said, oh my God, it's like my pain has improved. I can't exactly remember. It was dramatically, it was more than 50%. And she said, nobody's been able to move it. And what that teaches us, and what I'm teaching people and saying, is that like this experience that she, hid away, and she said, well, okay, I didn't need to tell him I had an abortion, whatever. That was causing her this incredible pain, because there is an intelligence inside of us that says, actually, as much as I think it's okay, it's not okay. Like, that's not okay. That wasn't an okay experience. Like, I needed to keep that a secret. Actually ends up with enormous pain. But we don't realize this, how our experiences really impact us. And I was really proud of this, this lady who's this amazing, amazing, like very quite like respected physiotherapist, who was willing to get out of her comfort zone and firstly come to my workshops, and then to actually go and help this woman in this way. It's like so beautiful. And I mean, I've had doctors. I had a holistic doctor recently, and he went and changed his whole practice and everything afterwards. So yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking that, anybody who deals in any modality that helps the body to go to your course would only expand and make better their practice. So,
If they're open-minded.
well, they wouldn't come to you if they weren't open-minded. Ah, dear. Okay, our audience is mostly boomer women. Now, we're at an age where some of us have been carrying a lot of crap around for a lot of years. Where would a person our age start their healing journey? I mean, by the book, obviously, but is there something that they can do?
Well, absolutely. And I think that a great way to start, and I have a lot of, women all ages, but definitely, in that age group coming to my courses, and, some end up buying a course that they can just do themselves, and some go, you know what, no, I want to come to one where, you can, where I can be guided. And I am doing them mostly online now for the reason that people often forget things, and kind of like, you could be in a particular state and not get the healing that you need, and it needs to happen more than once. And so I went in terms of processes. So people actually, we give people videos, and processes, and we separate them so that people can, rewatch what I was saying, but then also separately do the process. And this works way better than, as much as I do love live interactions long term, for people to have these tools. And so I love that. But yeah, the first step would actually be go to my website, which is innasegal.com, InnaSegal.com, and go to /masterclass. So InnaSegal.com/masterclass, and start watching. There's a few. This is my like big original one with lots of process, well, a few processes in it that you can try, and you can go, does this make logical sense? Is that something I want to explore further? And during that masterclass, you have an opportunity, you can either upgrade, and it's not very expensive, to a little bit more of a deeper one, or you can go, hey, I'm ready. I want to dive deep. I want to be guided. And in that case, again, we guide you to the next step of it if you feel that. But the opportunity to watch and start to understand and put into practice, I always say, have a piece of paper and a pen to, because in that particular one that I'm talking about, I kind of go through time periods and timelines a little bit and go, hey, this is some of the things that could happen during this time, and this, and this part of the body, and you might want to explore and reflect on what happened to you.
Is that awaken your intuitive body? There's four of them here. I
There's
was going like,
four,
it was this free
yeah.
master class on your website. So I just went, oh, I wonder what the class is. And I'm going like, there's four of them. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
it's probably going to be a little more than four, but well, that is a really, really great one to start. I'm going to say it's a great one if this is new to you, because it's quite gentle and slow, in a sense of, if you end up doing the course, it's over 8 weeks, and you have a few hours a week where you're actually focusing on the system of the body, and and that. So you learn about the system of the body, you learn about the potential health issues that can arise from that system. So when I say that, I mean, it's not completely all systems, because we do look at the heart separately, heart and lungs. But like, there's the digestive system, there's the immune system, there's the lymphatic system. So we go through all the different systems, and it's kind of like this overhaul of going, what's going on with me, and how can I let me really pinpoint where it is. And I also, start with what we've just been talking about, that how do we figure out where the issue is, and where has it ended up. So this is like the possibility of doing an 8-week training course that allows you to really explore and really great one to start with. But yeah, I do a lot.
That's amazing. Okay, before we get down to like all the rest of the stuff that you're doing, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women to think about having listened to this conversation?
Well, I think, that you have a life experience story, right? And for instance, when the body starts breaking down as we get older, especially with women coming, we need to really look at the storyline, and we need to identify what are the emotions that got trapped, but also the thought patterns. And how am I, because it accumulates as you get older, right? And so we end up with a lot of heavy weight that we carry, as opposed to encourage people to go, well, actually, I could, this there's an opportunity to learn. And I just want to say, what happens is this, if I can just take, have a couple of minutes. Between 0 to 21, we're kind of creating a foundation for our life of, and so we have 3 7-year periods there, like 7 to 14, 14 to 21. Sorry, 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21. So we have this, time periods. Math is not my strong point. Yeah. And for the rest of our lives, whatever happened in the 21 years, we then start to kind of, it's called recycling. Like literally, you cycle back through it as you're moving forward. And so, and you're also obviously then cycling through different time periods where you may not have dealt with things. And so one day you can wake up and go, let's say you're 50 or you're 60, and you go, I don't know why I'm having pain all of a sudden, or why I'm having an anxiety. I don't understand. And because we don't get taught this life story understanding, but it could be because you're actually recycling. Yeah, so you're cycling again through those particular time periods because you just didn't deal with things, or maybe you did to your best capacity with what you knew then, but there's more wisdom to gain, there's more to transform, and you need to understand it and look at it and explore it rather than go, oh, another issue, and let me take more medication, which always has side effects. I think that medication can be very, very important, but the reality, it has side effects, and they're often not good side effects. So how do we prove, how do we have our health? By prevention. And we can only prevent it by actually looking at what's going on and transforming. And so when you understand that, like let's say at one point in your life you had addiction issues or trauma, and I mean, like all of this sits in the body, and even though you might be 60 or 70, that needs to be transformed. And I have a really good friend, and she's in her 70s, and I said to her one day, she called me, she's like, ah, I'm getting really strong kind of pelvic pains and stuff, what do you think it is? And I said to her, well, actually, it's your relationship with your father that is coming up. And she's like, oh, we don't have a relationship. I don't see him. He's like 96 or something. We don't, oh, 90, I can't remember. We don't have this, relationship. I'm fine. And I said to her, well, you're not actually, because there is a part of you that is really kind of like deeply disappointed because you've had big realizations, and there's also part of you that feels scared that you lose him. So it's always connected to now as well. You lose him without having this reconciliation, and you're just trying to be strong. And so, but there's also discoveries you've made about him that you're just ignoring, as opposed to working through or dealing with. And And she kind of really connected and said, you are so right. I'm going to go away and work with this. And again, interestingly, within a few days, she had massive, massive relief and felt so much better. Another lady, I'm going to say she's 66, and she said to me, I've got pain around my spleen. And I said to her, okay, well, again, speaking of feminine, masculine, I said, well, this is connected to your feminine line. And I feel like there's something going connected to your mother and other females. It's not just your mother, there's other females. And she said, well, I really can't think, I can't really, connect to what you're saying, but let me sit with it and come back to you. And she said, because again, the body doesn't speak the minute you say you want to hear it, it's not how it works. So she sat with it and she reflected on it. And then it came to her, this very particular experience when she was in her 20s that was, it really, really impacted her. And now, it's only now when she's 66 that the spleen is doing that. It's bringing it up because she needs to work on these aspects, and she's been trying to work on her own feminine side. So it's bringing up those experiences as well. And so that's what people need to understand, that whatever you think you've dealt with everything, but then your pain comes back, you haven't. There's another perspective. There's another depth to it.
Interestingly, I went down the rabbit hole of my own podcast this morning when I was making my notes, because when I saw those 3 7-year sections that you had mentioned somewhere, somebody else has talked about that. And I never did put my finger on who it was. I'm going through my notes going like, okay, I've got to figure this out. But it's interesting that it's not just you saying this. It's obviously, yeah, it's something that's out there.
Well, definitely, I definitely.
Okay, so it's inaseagal.com. Now, you have got, as I say, 4 free masterclasses here. Like, that's crazy. You've got the regular courses, sorry. You have an audio library. Now, is that like meditations or is it education?
It's more processes like meditations for people to
Okay.
do. So
There was a
in
lot of
the
them
audio.
there, so that's
Yeah,
yeah.
there is.
And you've got other books. You've got The Secret Language of the Body. What other ones?
I've got The Secret of Life Wellness, and I've got Understanding Modern Spirituality, and I'm writing a book on understanding different stages of healing and what that looks like.
Okay. All right. And what are healing card decks?
So their card decks, I mean, like we're these people who need reminders or who need for us to have insights. So I've created card decks. So for instance, I've got one on ancestry, and a friend of mine, again, was here recently, and she was looking at the card deck and she went, how did you write this? Because this really hits home in terms of looking at, again, it's your family, what you took on, what pain, what trauma, but also what courage, what strength, where there's things maybe you're blaming and you need to let go of, and where you're not seeing the beautiful possibilities of it and how it's affecting you. So I've got one that just came out recently around this ancestry, understanding more about our ancestors through ideas and thoughts and questions. And I always give little processes where people can come back to themselves and go, what can I do? I have one on the heart. So I experienced a pretty deep heartbreak, and I realized that, like you feel crushed, and it's like pieces of your heart feel like, you broken essentially. And I realized, well, there was actually all these aspects, like my trusting heart. So I wasn't trusting anymore, my heart to do with adventure. I didn't feel like going on adventures. My heart to do with, grief. I needed to sit with it and work through it. So there was all these aspects, and I went, I'm going to create cards where you kind of, I'm encouraging you to write love letters to yourself, to your own heart, because that's what I did to heal from, my own heartbreak. So there's different decks for different kind of things. I've got ones on color, understanding more about how color can help us and amazing to use for emotions and calming our emotions, meditation, amazing to use with children and, strengthening their confidence, but our own confidence as well. So just a variety of lots of different ways to get people essentially to connect back and ask good questions and think about their life and explore and understand more about their who they are. That's what these cards are really about.
Ooh. You just offer so much. It's amazing. And you're on social.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and whoever else that my team puts me
YouTube, LinkedIn, yeah. Oh, okay, that helps.
on.
That explains a little bit. You got a team behind you. Okay, Lord knows we haven't gotten personal in this conversation. May I ask you one more question before we close?
Yeah, of course.
At age 9, you moved from Belarus to Australia. I looked it up. It's a new language. It's a new alphabet. They're totally different characters for that alphabet. Now, I know there was a lot of other trauma involved in the move, but I'm thinking here specifically about language. Many adults would have just given up because, I mean, tackling all three. But now you speak perfect English with an Australian accent. And you write books. How difficult was it for you as a child to take on so many different language challenges? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting because we ended up staying in Italy for almost 10 months. And I really was able to learn Italian during that time, not going to school, just I was actually helping my parents financially because I would sell whatever my grandparents would send stuff, and then because we had no money to eat, so I'd go around the beach or then started going to people's houses. I mean, it's crazy, to try and help financially and to sell, and I had to speak Italian, and so for whatever, however, I would listen, I would ask, I would connect to people, I would ask them to repeat words. And I think in my mind, I thought, oh my God, it's going to be, English is going to be as easy as Italian. And definitely wasn't as easy as Italian. But I feel like, I guess, if I come back to, my grandparents from the perspective of what they went through, and I would compare at different times what I went through, what they went through, and it's just not comparable. And so I would go, just do it. Like, just find your courage, just do it, just, figure it out.
Do you remember when you first started dreaming in English? And the reason I asked that is I had a dear friend in university who was trying to become completely fluent bilingual in French. And she said she felt she arrived when she started dreaming in French. Do you remember anything like that?
I don't know if I fully remember because I was still a child. So kind of, I feel like it was, it happened for me probably within maybe a year. I remember thinking when I came from Italy, it's going to take me a couple of months and I'll be fluent, because that's how I felt when I was in Italy. Because the language I found, I guess, I found it quite easy in Italian. And when it came here to English, I was like, oh my God, this is not 3 months. This is not a 3 months process. Like you said, everything's different. The sounds are different. The letters are different. How you pronounce everything is completely different. Nothing is the same. Not that it was, there was, I guess, closer in Italian. And I, so yeah, I remember really struggling with the accent because obviously you've got to put your tongue to in certain positions that I was like, I'm not used to this. But I think for me it was more like, how do I keep my native language alive as well by Because I was, I was 9 when I left, and how do I speak, speaking to my parents, and just during different times in my life, practicing. Like I remember when I was teaching a lot in Paris, and I had to kind of get my, again, like you said, speaking of French, you get my head around French, which is different to Italian, and to, for me, the language is Russian, and to English, and just like, I think it was the like just the love of hearing it that I can't say that I was ever fluent because I wasn't, but I could understand what people were saying when I was teaching and how they were translating, which is very, very important. And I think languages for me has been so interesting from the perspective of traveling to so many different countries and having translators for many, many years, where I would kind of have to really listen to the what they were saying, especially when it was the first time I was there. I remember German or Spanish and Japanese, and it was like feeling are they really translating what I'm saying? Can I actually feel the language? So that was really fascinating, and seeing people respond and sometimes going, I don't think you said what I said, what I needed to say. Can you tell me what you said? So that was really, really fascinating. But what I was saying, friends, I ended up meeting people, and yeah, they could speak, like my best friend's Polish, and he ended up, I was born in Belarus, so he ended up learning Russian, and we did have Belarusian, but at that time everybody spoke Russian, whether you were in Ukraine, with wherever you were, Latvia, whichever part of USSR you were in. Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, well, if I can't speak English, where can I find people where I can practice? Because I really wanted to keep the language for the reason that, it has a different feeling and different depth, and it really made me understand cultures in a new way where that I went to, because I would go, okay, I've just come from the U from US to let's say Mexico to teach, and it's like I need to almost understand the flow of the language and the feeling of people to understand their culture, because I realized that, like from the Russian language, it is so rich and deep, and you cannot actually translate a lot of things into English in the way that it makes you feel and kind of experience things. And so I realized that language and culture was something that if I wanted to teach, like I did around the world, I really needed to kind of try and embrace and feel into and understand. It was so different in each place. Like, Danish was so different. Actually, to be fair, most people spoke English when I went to Denmark, and I was like, oh, thank you. They're
Well,
like,
and
speak slower.
yeah, I will assure that our listeners, having talked to you for, oh my goodness, 2 hours now, is apparently it only takes 10 months in Italy to learn how to talk with your hands. You're very expressive. It's been great watching that. Okay. Your website link is in the show notes. All of the links will be on your page at our website. Listeners,
Thank you so much.
do you have thoughts on today's show? I used to avoid talking about subjects that were so far out of my bailiwick. With each intuitive healer I speak with, I understand more and also understand the importance of air quotes, woo-woo in our lives and to our lives. So talk to us, share your thoughts, leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. What did Inna and I not discuss? Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. I know my self-knowledge and self-awareness has grown over the years listening to and learning from my guests. I'd recommend that for you too. And when you share this episode with a friend, you're sending the ripples out a little further. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Have you checked out the resource tab at boomwithabang.com yet? You can look up previous podcast episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests, some interesting courses and offerings, lists of age-appropriate job and philanthropic possibilities. And if you're at all curious about the life of a house slash pet sitter, I'm journaling that journey on the website too. Ina Siegel, thank you for being my guest today. Being so open about your own experiences, the pain and all that stuff, explaining why the intuitive healing is as important. And as I say that now, having talked to you, it might be more important, but it's definitely the catalyst for physical healing as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great. Well, thank you for all that. Have a great rest of the week.